Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor, and I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can make the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. Join me to hear the stories of powerful women of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. So super excited to have my guest today, Benicia Ponder. Benicia Ponder is a multiple best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur. As founder of Illumination Press, Benicia helps purpose-driven individuals and service-based entrepreneurs turn their God-given gifts and life-changing experiences into powerful messages that make a big difference and a big profit. Welcome to the show, Benicia. Anything you would like to add to your awesome bio?
No, Nadine, thank you. That was perfect.
Awesome. Awesome. So as you know, this podcast is all about women of faith in business. So I always like to start off by finding out how you took a leap of faith to actually start your business. So what did that look like for you?
Wow. I don't think it was necessarily a leap of faith that started my business. Now, definitely to grow and build my business, that was where the faith kicked in. But there's always been something inside of me that's been entrepreneurial. I have literally only had one job that was a regular job. And I was in that job for maybe a year. Right out of law school. And then they downsized. I was released from that position. Then they brought me back into that same position, but not as an employee, but as an independent contractor where I was my own business. And so even throughout school, even with that corporate job, so to speak, I have always been entrepreneurial. There's always been something inside of me that wants to direct my work. So I've always been in business. When it comes to the faith part, though, the faith part comes in with being able to actually grow and maximize my business so that it is the best expression of my purpose. And the faith also comes in not dimming that light and not not hiding who I am and really showing up in a real authentic way. And that required a lot of faith, especially in the beginning, as I was navigating, trying to find my place in the marketplace and trying to determine, am I going to say I work with Christian women? Am I going to say I work with women of faith? Am I going to talk about God and Jesus when I'm talking? And so those kind of things, having the faith to be me was really the big part that required a lot of a lot of faith in the beginning.
Yeah, I love that. So your leap of faith wasn't actually the faith of starting your business because you had that entrepreneurial spirit, which I truly believe is an entrepreneurial spirit. I have the same thing. It's like, it's kind of just deep down inside of you, you know, you're not created to work for someone else, right? You have to be the boss. You're not created to take orders from anybody else. So I can totally relate to that entrepreneurial spirit being inside of you. But you felt, so that was less of a leap of faith because you always knew it was inside of you. What the leap of faith was is showing up authentically and shining in your lane in the way that God has put you in the marketplace. So I love that that's how you describe your leap of faith when it comes to your business, less of how you started it, but how you evolved over time by taking a leap of faith in what God is telling you to do. Now, as entrepreneurs and business owners, we all know that, you know, business and entrepreneurship has a lot of ups and a lot of downs, a lot of evolution. We evolve, we pivot, we change. So I'd love for you to share with the audience, you know, what have been some of the major pivots, or changes or evolutions that you've had in your business that you feel led to share?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the biggest pivot was moving from my career as an attorney and business development strategist. That's how I started out as an attorney. Okay. I graduated from law school, passed the bar exam, and I can remember standing in the courtroom with my hand raised with other new attorneys, and we were saying this oath. And I looked around that courtroom, and I was hearing what the judge was saying, but all I could think was, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be an attorney. And there's nothing wrong with being an attorney.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, but for me, I knew that that wasn't really what God wanted me to be, to do, but I did it because I didn't really fully have my purpose in mind. So for a while I did it. I helped clients, and I was really good at helping clients. I worked mainly with entrepreneurs, small business owners, nonprofit organizations, helping them to grow and develop. And I helped my clients generate more than $20 million to fund their work, to help take their mission into the world. I've always worked with purpose-driven and mission-driven organizations. So, but in that role as an attorney, I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. And so that was a big thing for me for a number of years, about 6 or 7 years. Then there was a point where I said, okay, I'm making good money. I'm doing good work, but there's no purpose. So I cold turkey stopped being an attorney, stopped taking on new clients. I wrapped up everything and I stopped practicing law. And I switched over to my purpose work. I switched over to my purpose work and I jumped head in. I became a certified personal and executive coach. I started speaking. I wrote my first book. I did all of these things. I was helping clients all over the world. And I was really, really happy with that. I was
awesome.
So on top of the world with how I was able to really get in there and help people. And then one day I woke up and I went to go and pay my bills. And so I walked into my home office, opened up my laptop, all that kind of stuff. There was $3.11 in my bank account. After doing all of this work that I absolutely loved to do. I mean, just it brought me joy. Every time I had a client call, I was on top of the world, excited. But at that point, I realized, okay, so there's a decision that you have to make, Benicia, because here you are with $3.11 in your bank account. You're doing work that you absolutely love, but you're not making money. So there was that point at time when I said, I have to make a decision. Am I going to do work that I love, but it's not necessarily profitable for me right now? Or am I going to go back to work that I didn't love, that didn't bring me joy, that didn't fulfill my purpose, but it paid my bills? And I decided that I wanted both. I wanted both. So I spent the next 6 to 9 months really combining both the passion, the purpose, and the prosperity into my business, being very strategic about how I went about doing my business. And so that's where my second book, Prospering Your Purpose, came from that journey of really taking the business principles that I knew and actually applying them to my purpose-driven business so that I could have the purpose and the prosperity. And that made all the difference. That was the biggest turning point when I decided I wanted both. I didn't want to sacrifice my purpose. I didn't want to sacrifice my prosperity or my profits. I wanted to have them both. And when I made that decision, that's when things turned around.
Yeah, I love that. So many golden nuggets in that story. I'd start with the first of all, congratulating you for graduating from law school and passing the bar. That is an accomplishment. I know so many people that can't pass the bar. So it was an accomplishment. So I congratulate you for that accomplishment. But I also congratulate you for the courage to recognize that wasn't what God was calling you to do. I think a lot of times we get caught up with titles and worldly accomplishments and stay in that lane and continue doing that work. Because to the world standard, that seems like really good. You know, that's accomplished. You're doing great things. But you had the courage to say, wait a second, something doesn't feel right. As I'm taking this oath and looking around, I'm feeling in my heart, this isn't really what I want to do. This isn't what I'm called to do. This isn't my purpose. So you did continue along that road for a little while and then had the courage to stop cold turkey and say, no, this is not what I'm going to do, and start finding your purpose and going in your lane of purpose by helping other people. And you're passionate, I think that's a key word, passionate about what you were doing. But the other key thing that you mentioned was you weren't profitable. So there's an issue where you're passionate, but when you open your bank account and you don't have enough money to pay the bills, your passion is not profitable, then it's not helping you. And then the last key thing that I know I remember from that story that you shared is the fact that you made a decision. Everything in life starts with a decision. Yes. So you made a decision that, wait a second, it's not either or. It's not having my passion and not being paid or having profit and doing something that I don't want to do. I'm making a decision to do both, have passion and profit, because it all starts with a decision. So like I said, so many awesome nuggets in that story that you shared. So of course, as a woman of faith in business, faith obviously plays a major role in your business. So I'd love for you to explain to us what that looks like for you. How does faith play a role in your business?
Well, Jesus is my center. Mm-hmm. And everything that I do, my purpose and my intention is to let my light shine in the world. Mm-hmm. My absolute favorite scripture, it's the one that is the foundational scripture for my publishing company and for my training programs, all that kind of stuff. It's Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, where Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And he says in that passage, you don't light a lamp and then hide it. Mm. You set it up on a lampstand so that it can light the entire room. And what he commands us to do in that passage in verse 16, he says, so let your light so shine before mm-hmm. others that they see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. Yes. And so everything that I do, I know that my intention, my why behind everything I do is to let my light shine, mm-hmm. to be able to show others that they can let their light shine too. I remember writing in my journal one day and I was about what I wanted to do. And I was like, I am the light switch flipper. I want to be the one to turn on the lights and help others to flip that switch on their lights. And so when I think about faith in my business, there's no separation there. Mm-hmm. There's no delineation between faith and business. It's all together because my business is a part of me expressing my faith. And it's a part of me expressing the purpose that God gave to me when he created me. So,
yeah. And I love that scripture about letting your light shine. And I think the key part of that scripture is not just letting your light shine so you can get the shine. Exactly. It's about glorifying God. People can see you, who your Father is. And when you're shining, they're like, oh, wow, you know, look at the God that she serves. Look at what that God does for her. I want to know more about that. So the intent is always glorifying God. That is mm-hmm. always the end result. So I love that. So of course, as a woman of faith in business, you don't necessarily have to be open about your faith. You can pray, you can meditate, you can listen to God, you can ask for direction, you can pray over your clients, and you can do all of that in private as a woman of faith in business. What made you feel like you needed to be bold about your faith on your business platform? Why did you feel that was a necessary step for you?
Well, I specifically heard God tell me that my mission is to help Christian women prosper. Very clearly. Over the years where I have struggled and where I have seen lack of clarity in my business, it has been when I have tried to water down that and say, oh, I help entrepreneurs and business owners. I work with service-based professionals. Whenever I've tried to water that down and not be very intentional or specific about who I serve, I found that my business lacks clarity. It is chaotic.
Right.
And so my decision is tied to what God has told me,
right,
basically, and the mission he's given me. That's not to say that in every piece of marketing content, I say, hey, Christian woman,
right,
you know, or talk about God and everything. But my intention is that the people that I serve are those that God has assigned me to serve. And so That's just really been the guiding principle for me, is knowing that God has called me to help Christian women prosper and not shying away from that.
Yeah, I love that. So many things you said in that resonated with me. You know, you were given a mandate, you were given a mission, and it's important for you to fulfill the assignment that God has specifically given you. So you had no other choice but to show up in that way on your business platform, because that's what God said. And when God says it, you listen, right?
You
listen.
Or you pay the consequences.
Exactly. Then you end up struggling and you can't get any clients.
Yes.
You don't have any money in your bank account. He said, well, I told you, you should listen.
And you know what, Nadine, and here's the thing with that, because I have sometimes said, oh, you know what, I help everybody, or I can help all business. And I found, and this is just recently with a client that I have interacted with today, this morning, he sent me a message saying, I don't think I want to work with you anymore, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And I was feeling in my spirit that it wasn't going to be a good relationship along in the way. But I said, you know what, I want to, you know, I'm helping people to publish their books and get them out. I don't have to just work with Christian women. I can work with anybody. And I took on his project, and this project has changed scopes three, maybe four times. We have revised our agreement. I always start every, and I tell women of faith in business, start every relationship with an agreement,
right,
like in writing, very specific.
Right.
So that we've changed our agreement three or four times.
Right.
And this morning there was another payment due on his agreement.
Right.
And he says, well, I think I want to cancel the agreement. And I said, okay. He asked for a refund.
Right.
And I said, well, let me check your agreement and then I'll get back to you.
Right.
And he said, well, that's why I don't want to work with you, because it's all about the money.
Ooh,
and
okay.
I said, okay. And I immediately realized that the reason why I'm having this discussion with him, while it's been like pulling teeth to work with him, why everything that I submit to him, even though it fits everything that he asked for to the T and even goes above and beyond, the reason why all that's not working is because I'm not meant to serve him.
Yeah.
And if I would have checked my criteria before I used to talk about a client credibility checklist or client acceptance checklist, like, is your client qualified to work with you before you start?
Exactly.
And had I done that, had I gone through that, we wouldn't even be in this situation. And so it's so important to me now. And I'm still learning that lesson. So even if you make mistakes sometimes, you can still learn again.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm still learning the lesson to remember to stay with that model. There are specific people God has for me to serve. And when I move out of that, things like what's happening now happen. And so he's just reminding me, hey, I told you what to do. You have your assignment. Stop trying to take on other people's assignment, because this guy is somebody else's assignment, not mine.
Exactly.
And so, that's been a lesson I am still learning, and I will continue to learn.
Yeah, no, I love that. I preach that. So you're just speaking my language. I always preach being specific, because you're called to a specific group of people. And when you're working outside of those group of people, you're in misalignment. You're in misalignment with your assignment. And as you said, that usually means struggle, overwhelm, all the negative things that can happen in your business when you're not in alignment with who God specifically called you to serve. And I also talk about in scripture where Jesus himself said, I'm called to the lost sheep of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. When the woman was trying to get him to heal her daughter, he was like, I'm not called to you. I'm called to the lost sheep of Israel. Whenever I'm in Bible study or we look at that verse, you always think, man, that's mean. Man, he's really hard on that woman. There's so many other lessons in that story. Mm-hmm. But one of the key lessons was Jesus had focus. He had focus. Yeah. He was assigned to the lost sheep of Israel, and that was his assignment while he was here on earth.
Yeah.
And everything that he did, preaching, teaching, you know, healing, was along the lines with his assignment. And he requires us to do the same thing because we're assigned to a specific group of people. So I appreciate you sharing that. So as a woman of faith in business, we all become believers in Jesus Christ in different ways. Our faith journeys look very different. So I'd love for you to share, how did you become a believer of Jesus Christ?
Well, I was baptized and all of that and accepted Jesus probably at the, what age was I? Probably 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. So I was baptized. I grew up in the church. My parents, grandparents, as far back as I can know, we've been believers. Mm-hmm. And it's just been something that's been in my life. When it comes to having a relationship with Jesus, it started probably around the time, I'm trying to think. My relationship with Jesus started probably in my mid-20s, after I had a pseudo brain tumor that damaged my optic nerves, after I had to figure out how all that worked, after I was, my daughter was around five at that time. And so in the midst of going through life, and knowing about Jesus, I could quote scriptures at 25. I could really tell you anything. We could talk about the Bible. I could point you to verses and tell you things and all that kind of stuff. But as far as actually knowing God, knowing Jesus, it started then, and it's still growing today. I get to know him more and more every day. Mm-hmm. And so that relationship is blossoming. But it really wasn't until I started to actually listen to him and allow him to speak to me and not put him in a box of religion and tradition. And I had to actually live with him being the one to hear me when I didn't have anyone else to talk to or felt like I couldn't talk to anybody else. Mm-hmm. Actually being in a relationship with him started 25. But like I said, it's still growing. This morning, I felt like we have a better relationship than we did yesterday. So
exactly. It definitely is a faith journey. And that's why I always ask, what has your faith journey been like? Because we continue to go on this faith journey. But I love what you shared about, you know, religion and actually growing up and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior when you're 6 or 7. Because I, you know, in doing several interviews, I see a pattern with a lot of people growing up in the faith and, you know, accepting Jesus Christ Christ at a very young age, usually around 6 or 7. And that is all about more of like religion, routine, rituals, you know, background. Mm-hmm. But then something happens, you know, right, whether it's a challenge or a pain or something major, where then they see Jesus differently. And it's more of a relationship. So that shift from religion to relationship happens at an older age, usually in their 20s. So I'm actually seeing the same theme with a lot of people. So it's amazing how it actually works and the importance of the difference between religion and relationship. Mm-hmm. And that this is a continuous journey. So I do appreciate that. So one of the questions I always like to ask is, how would you define the power of faith?
How would I define the power of faith? Wow, Nadine, that's a great question.
That's why I love to ask it every single episode. You will hear that question.
Like, how do I define the power of faith? It's indescribable for me. Mm-hmm. It is something that. So faith for me is an action word. It's about applying what you know to a situation. So not just thinking, I believe. Faith goes beyond just belief. It goes beyond just what you think. Faith is really action to me. Mm-hmm. And the power of that, combining what you believe with the actions that you take, the power is... It's immeasurable. It is unstoppable. That power is the power that allows us to do so many things. Right. And so I don't know if I have a definition for that power, but I recognize its force. And I recognize the fact that when I operate in faith, And again, not just thinking about God, I believe you. I believe that you're true. Mm. But actually in my life, operating with that. Somebody asked in a message I heard in the past couple of weeks, the message was talking about the scripture where, is it in James? Where he said, you know, where he says, greater is he who is in you than he who was in the world. Mm-hmm. And the question that the pastor asked was, are you living like that's true?
So
when I think about faith, I think about the fact that we're living as if we know it's true. We know God is powerful. Mm-hmm. We know that God can supply all of our needs. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Mm-hmm. We know that God has plans for us to prosper and all those other verses that we love to quote, right?
Right.
We know that, but faith is living like we know it's true. Mm-hmm. Living like we know that we can do all things
right.
through Christ who strengthens us. Living as if we know that there's no weapon formed against us that right. can prosper. Living as if we know that all things work together for our good. And right. so the power of that is that when you operate and live as if you know those things, as if they are true, hands down, then you have more confidence. Mm-hmm. You are less likely to fall prey to things that are not in your lane, so to speak.
Right.
right. There's less fear. There is less regret, less shame. And so the power of faith is the power to live in accordance, a life in accordance with God's best for you.
Yeah.
So we could probably talk about this all day and there'll be tons of definitions.
Yes.
But yeah, that's really living. The power is living a confident, bold life where you're serving God and you're happy about it.
You said so many good things in that definitions. Immeasurable, unstoppable, confident, powerful. You know, those were some of the key words that stood out. But it's the the main thing of not just believing and trusting, but also taking action in knowing those things. So your action in knowing those things is how your faith can be powerful. So I think that was an awesome definition. So this podcast, as you know, is all about women of faith in business. So I also like to ask the question is, how would you define the power of business?
I like this. The power of business. These are some really good questions. I have to say. The power of business, like I said before, my business is an expression of the purpose for which God has called me. And so the power of business is the power to transform lives, the power to serve. I see business as a solution. Each of us in business has a solution that we saw, that we provide. To solve the problems that people have, to be able to create light in people's dark places, to be able to bring hope and breakthrough, no matter if you are talking about health and wellness or financial literacy, or you're talking about being a celebrity hairstylist, or you're helping people to lose weight, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What you're bringing is a solution. And the power of business is the power to transform lives. It's the power to make an impact. And the more impact you make, the more your business thrives. That's what I think.
I love that. Yeah. The power to transform lives and make an impact. That is the power of business. As usual, always so many awesome nuggets that you share. So this has been a great conversation about women of faith in business, and specifically about your path and your journey as a woman of faith in business. If people would like to learn a little bit more about you and how you can help, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way is to go to my website, inspirationalauthors.com. That's inspirationalauthors.com. I am also everywhere on social media as Benicia Ponder. So you can find me on social media. But the best place is to go to the website, check out what we're doing. And if you are ready to share your message with the world, definitely feel free to schedule a consultation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And definitely check out Benicia's website and connect with her on social media. Thanks for joining us today, Benicia. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episodes, or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover 3 powerful ways to attract your ideal clients so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 31993.